two halves made better as a whole. Flash! Of course, Lucifer came back to her. The rage within him had swelled so much that he was twice as tall as her. They had once stood eye to eye.
"I can stand the yoke no longer. Will you come before the throne with me and declare your sole allegiance to our love?"
"Lucifer, wait." Lucinda wanted to tell him about Daniel, but he wouldn't have heard her anyway.
"It is a lie for me to play adoring angel when I have you and require nothing more. Let us make plans, Lucinda, you and I. Let us scheme for glory."
"How is that love?" she had cried. "You adore your dreams, your ambition. You taught me how to love, but I cannot love a soul so dark it eats up others' light." He did not believe her, or he pretended not to hear her, because Lucifer soon challenged the throne to gather all the souls in the meadow for the roll call. He'd held Lucinda in his grip when he made the challenge, but when he started to speak, he was distracted, and she was able to slip away. She walked into the meadow, wandered among bright souls. She saw the one she'd been seeking all along. Lucifer bellowed at the angels.
"A line has been drawn in the cloud soil of the meadow. Now you're all free to choose. I offer you equality, an existence without an authority's arbitrary rankings."
Luce knew he meant that she was only free to follow him. Lucifer might have thought he loved her, but what he loved was controlling her with a dark, destructive fascination. It was as if Lucifer thought Lucinda was an aspect of him. She huddled next to Daniel in the meadow, basking in the warmth of a burgeoning love that was pure and sustaining, as Daniel's name rang out across the meadow. He had been called. He rose above the riot of angelic light and said with calm self-possession,
"With respect, I will not do this. I will not choose Lucifer's side, nor will I choose the side of heaven."
A roar went up from the vast camps of angels, from those who stood beside the throne, from Lucifer most of all. Lucinda had been stunned.
"Instead, I choose love," Daniel went on. "I choose love and leave you to your war. You are wrong to bring this upon us," Daniel said to Lucifer.
Then to the throne.
"All that is good in heaven and on earth is made of love. Maybe that wasn't your plan when you created the universe. Maybe love was just one aspect of a complicated and brutal world. But love was the best thing you made, and it has become the only thing worth saving. This war is not just. This war is not good. Love is the only thing worth fighting for."
The meadow fell silent after Daniel's words. Most of the angels looked dumbfounded, as if they did not understand what Daniel meant. It had not been Lucinda's turn. The angels' names were called by the celestial secretaries according to their rank, and Lucinda was one of a handful of angels higher than Daniel. It didn't matter. They were a team. She rose to his side in the meadow.
"There should never have to be a choice between love and you," Lucinda declared to the throne. "Maybe one day you will find a way to reconcile adoration and the true love you have made us capable of. But if forced to choose, I must stand beside my love. I choose Daniel and will choose him forevermore."
Then Luce remembered the hardest thing she'd ever had to do. She turned to Lucifer, her first love. Without being honest with him, none of this would count.
"You showed me the power of love, and for that I will always be grateful. But love ranks a distant third for you, far behind your pride and rage. You have begun a fight you can never win."
"I am doing all of this for you," Lucifer shouted.
It was his first great lie,
the universe's first great lie. Arm in arm with Daniel in the center of the meadow, Lucinda had made the only possible choice. Her fear paled in comparison to her love. But she never could have anticipated the curse. Luce remembered now that the punishment had come from both sides. That was what had made the curse so binding. Both the throne and Lucifer, out of jealousy or spite or a loveless view of justice, had sealed Daniel and Lucinda's fate for many thousands of years. In the silence of the meadow, a strange thing happened. Another Daniel soared up next to Lucinda and Daniel. He was an anachronism, the Daniel she'd met at Shoreline, the angel Luce Price knew and loved.
"I come here to beg clemency," Daniel's twinning spoke. "If we must be punished, and, my master, I do not question your decision, please at least remember that one of the great features of your power is your mercy, which is mysterious and large and humbles us all."
At the time, Lucinda had not understood this, but in Luce's memory, finally, everything made sense. He had given Luce the gift of a loophole in the curse so that someday in the distant future she could liberate their love. The last thing she remembered was clutching Daniel tightly when the cloud soil boiled black. The ground dropped out from under them, and the angels began their fugue, their fall. Daniel had slipped from her reach. Her body had fixed into immobility. She lost him. She lost all memory. She lost herself. Until now. When Luce opened her eyes, night had fallen. The air was so cool, her arms were trembling. The others huddled around her, so quiet she could hear crickets whistling in the grass. She didn't want to look at anyone.
"It was because of me," she said. "All this time, I thought they were punishing you, Daniel, but the punishment was from me."
She paused.
"Am I the reason Lucifer revolted?"
"No, Luce."
Cam gave her a sad smile.
"Maybe you were the inspiration, but inspiration is an excuse for doing something you already want to do."
Lucifer was looking for an entrance into evil. He would have found another way.
"But I betrayed him."
"No," Daniel said. "He betrayed you. He betrayed all of us."
"Without his rebellion, would we have fallen in love?"
Daniel smiled.
"I like to think we would have found a way.
Now, finally, we have a chance to put all of this behind us. We have a chance to stop Lucifer, to break the curse, and love each other the way we always wanted to. We can make all these years of suffering worthwhile."
"Look," Stephen said, pointing at the sky.
The stars were out in droves. One, far in the distance, was particularly bright. It flickered, then seemed to go out altogether before returning even brighter than before.
"That's them, isn't it?" she said. "The fall."
"Yes," Francesca said.
"That's it. It looks just like the old texts say it would."
"It was just..."
Luce furrowed her brow, squinting.
"I can only see it when I..."
"Concentrate," Cam ordered.
"What's happening to it?" Luce asked.
"It is coming into being in this world," Daniel said. "It wasn't the physical transit from heaven to earth that took 9 days. It was the shift from a heavenly realm to an earthly one. When we landed here, our bodies were... different. We became different. That took time." "Now time is taking us," Roland said,
looking at the golden pocket watch that Dee must have given him before she died.
"Then it is time for us to go," Daniel said to Luce.
"Up there?"
"Yes, we must soar up to meet them. We will fly right up to the limits of the fall, and then you..."
"I have to stop him?"
"Yes."
She closed her eyes, thought back to the way Lucifer had looked at her in the meadow. He looked like he wanted to crush every speck of tenderness there was.
I think I know how.
I told you she would say that, Arion whooped. Daniel pulled her close.
Are you sure?
She kissed him, never surer. I just got my wings back, Daniel. I'm not going to let Lucifer take them away. So Luce and Daniel said goodbye to their friends, reached for each other's hands, and took off into the night. They flew upward forever, through the thinnest outer skin of the atmosphere, through a film of light at the edge of space. The moon became enormous, shone like a noontime sun. They passed through hazy, clouded galaxies, and by other moons with other crater-shadowed faces, and strange planets glowing with red gas and striped rings of light. No amount of flying tired Luce. She began to understand how Daniel could go for days without rest. She was not hungry or thirsty. She was not cold in a frozen night. At last, at the edge of nothing, in the darkest pocket of the universe, they reached the perimeter. They saw the black web of Lucifer's announcer wobbling between dimensions. Inside it was the fall. Daniel hovered at her side, his wings brushing hers, transmitting strength.
You will have to pass through the announcer first. Don't get hung up there. Move through until you find him in the fall.
I have to go in alone, don't I?
I would follow you to the ends of the earth and beyond, but you are the only one who can do this, Daniel said.
He took her hand and kissed her fingers, her palm. He was shaking.
I'll be here.
Their lips met one last time.
I love you, Luce, Daniel said. I will love you always, whether or not Lucifer succeeds.
No, don't say that, Luce said. He won't.
But if he does, Daniel continued, I want you to know that I would do it all again. I will choose you every time.
A calmness came over Luce. She would not fail him. She would not fail herself.
I won't be long.
She squeezed his hand and turned away and plunged through darkness into Lucifer's announcer. 18. Catch a falling star. The darkness was total. Luce had only ever traveled through her own announcers, which were cool and damp, even peaceful. The entrance to Lucifer's was stale, hot, filled with acrid smoke, and deafening. Phlegmy pleas for mercy and jagged, radiating sobs permeated its inner wall. Luce's wings bristled, a sensation she'd never experienced as she realized that the devil's announcers were outposts of hell. It's just a passage, she told herself. It's like any other announcer, a portal to pass through to another place and time. She pushed forward, gagging on smoke. The ground was spiked with something she didn't recognize until she stumbled to her knees and felt the excruciation of glass shards in the hands Daniel had just released.
Don't get hung up there, he had told her. Move through until you find him.
She took a deep breath, righted herself, remembered what she was. She spread her wings, and the announcer flooded with light. Now Luce could see how horrible it was, every smoldering surface covered by protruding shards of glass of different colors, semi-human forms dead or dying in sticky pools on the floor, and, worst of all, an overwhelming sense of loss. Luce looked down at her bleeding hands, vicious little triangles of brown glass sticking out of her palms. In an instant, they were healed. She gritted her teeth and flew, her body penetrating the announcer's inner wall, deep into the belly of Lucifer's stolen fall. It was vast. That was the first thing.
vast enough to be its own universe, and eerily silent. The fall was so bright with the light of falling angels that Luce could hardly see. Somehow she could feel them all around, her sisters and her brothers, more than 100 million of heaven's host, decorating the sky like paintings. They hung suspended, frozen in space and time, each one entombed in a different orb of light. That was how she'd fallen, too. She remembered it now, painfully. Those 9 days had contained 900 eternities. And yet, still as the falling angels were, Luce saw now that they were changing all the time. Their forms took on a strange, inchoate translucence. Here and there, light flashed on the underside of a pair of wings. An arm hazily flickered into being, then became indistinct again. This was what Daniel had meant about the shift that occurred within the fall, souls metamorphosing from the way they'd been in the heavenly realm to the way they would be in the earthly realm. The angels were shedding their angelic purity, entering the incarnations they would wear on earth. Luce drew near the nearest angel. She recognized him, Zadkiel, the angel of divine justice, her brother and her friend. She had not seen his soul in ages. He didn't see her now, and he couldn't have responded if he had. The light within him warbled, causing Zadkiel's essence to shimmer like a gem in muddy water. It coalesced into a blurry face Luce didn't recognize. It looked grotesque, crudely formed eyes, half-realized lips. It wasn't him, but as soon as the angels hit the unforgiving soil of Earth, it would be. The farther she waded into the suspended sea of souls, the heavier she felt. Luce recognized all of them. Seraquel, Alat, Muriel, Chayo. She realized with horror that when her wings drew near enough, she could hear each angel's falling thoughts.
Who will take care of us? Whom will we adore?
I can't feel my wings.
I miss my orchards. Will there be orchards in hell?
I am sorry. I am so sorry. It was too painful to remain near any of them for longer than a single thought. Luce pushed on, directionless, overwhelmed, until a bright, familiar light attracted her. Gabby. Even in unformed transition, Gabby was gorgeous. Her white wings folded like rose petals around her focusing features. The dark drape of her eyelashes made her look peaceful and steady. Luce pressed up against Gabby's silvery orb of light. For a moment, she considered that there might be a bright side to Lucifer's fall. Gabby would return. Then the light within Gabby flickered, and Luce heard the falling angel think. Move on. Lucinda, please move on. Dream what you already know. Luce thought of Daniel waiting on the other side. She thought of Lu Xin, the girl she'd been during the ancient Shang dynasty in China. She had killed a king, dressed in his general's clothes, and readied herself for a war that wasn't hers to fight, all because of her love for Daniel. Luce had recognized her soul inside Lu Xin from the moment she saw her. She could find herself here, too, even with bright souls shining all around her, like city lights flung up in the air. She would find herself within the fall. That, she knew suddenly, was where she would find Lucifer. She closed her eyes, beat her wings lightly, asked her soul to guide her to herself. She moved through millions, sliding over glowing tidal waves of angels. It took a small eternity. For 9 days, she and her friends had been racing time, thinking only of how to find the fall. Now that they had found it, how long would it take Luce to locate the soul she needed, the needle in this haystack made of angels changing forms? How much time was left? Then, in a galaxy of frozen angels, Luce froze. Someone was singing. It was a love song, so beautiful it made her wings quiver. She came to rest behind the fixed white orb of a falling angel called Ezekiel and listened.
My sea has found a shore. My burning has found a flame.
Her soul swelled with a long-forgotten memory. She peered around Ezekiel, the angel of the clouds, to see who was singing in the clearing. It was a boy, cradling a girl in his arms, his serenading voice soft and sweet as honey. The slow rocking of his arms was the only motion in the entire frozen fall. Then Luce realized that girl was not simply a girl. She was a half-formed orb of light surrounding an angel in metamorphosis. She was the soul that used to be Lucinda. The boy looked up, sensing a presence. He had a square face, wavy amber hair, and eyes the color of ice, radiant with dumb love. But he was not a boy. He was an angel, so devastatingly beautiful that Luce's body clenched with a loneliness she didn't want to remember. He was Lucifer. This was how he used to look in heaven. But he was mobile, fully formed, unlike the millions of angels surrounding him, which assured Luce he was the demon of the present, the one who had cast his announcer around the fall to incite its second link with Earth. His own falling soul could be anywhere in here, just as paralyzed as the rest of them had been when the throne cast them out of heaven. Luce had been right about her soul's leading her to Lucifer. After he had set this fall in motion, he must have dipped inside here through his own announcer. And spent the past 9 days doing what? Singing lullabies and rocking back and forth while the world hung in the balance and armies of angels raced around the world to stop him? Her wings burned. She knew this was all he'd done because she knew that he loved her, that he still wanted her. Her betrayal of Lucifer was what this was all about.
"Who's there?" he called.
Luce moved forward. She had not come here to hide from him. Besides, he had already sensed her soul's glow behind Ezekiel. She heard the vexed recognition in his voice.
"Oh, it's you."
He raised his arms slightly, holding out Luce's falling self.
"Have you met my love? I think you'd find her."
Lucifer looked above him, searching for a word.
"Refreshing."
Luce edged closer, drawn equally to the radiant angel who'd broken her heart and the strange, half-formed version of herself. This was the angel who'd become the girl Luce had been on Earth. She watched her own face flicker into being inside the light in Lucifer's arms. Then it was gone. She considered cleaving to this strange creature. She knew that she could do it, reach out and take possession of her oldest body, feel her stomach drop as she joined with her past, blink and find herself in Lucifer's arms, in falling Lucinda's mind, as she had done so many times before. But she didn't need to do that anymore. Bill had taught Luce how to cleave before she'd known who she truly was, before she'd had access to the memories she did now. She didn't have to cleave to her falling soul for help with what to say to Lucifer. Luce already knew the whole story. She folded her hands in front of her. She thought of Daniel on the other side of the announcer.
"The love you feel is not returned, Lucifer."
He offered Luce a bright, defiant smile.
"Do you have any idea how rare a moment like this is?"
Without thinking, Luce found herself drawing nearer.
"The two of you, together at once. The one who cannot leave me."
He caressed the metamorphosing body in his arms and looked up.
"And the one who doesn't know how to stay away."
"She and I share the same soul," Luce said. "And neither one of us loves you anymore."
"And they say my heart is hardened."
Lucifer grimaced, all sweetness gone.
His voice plunged downward through the registers, deeper than anything Luce had ever heard.
You disappointed me in Egypt. You shouldn't have done that, and you shouldn't be here now. I deposited you in the outer realm so that you could not interfere.
His figure changed. The youthful, lovely face shriveled into wrinkles that splintered down his body in long, craggy seams. Mighty wings burst from behind his shoulders. Claws shot from his fingers, long and curled and yellow. Luce winced as they dug into her falling, half-formed body in his grip. His eyes glowed from icy blue to red, like molten lead, and he swelled to 10 times the size he'd been. Luce knew this was because he was indulging the rage he'd subdued in order to appear as his lovely, former self. He seemed to fill all empty space, shrinking the expanse of suspended angels in an instant. Luce flew up to his eye level and sighed. "You might as well stop there," she said.
"Built up a tolerance, have you?"
Luce shook her head and extended her wings as wide as they would go. They stretched to lengths that still astonished her. "I know who I am, Lucifer. I know what I can do. Neither of us is constrained by mortal bounds. I could become horrific, too. But what's the point?" Steam rose off Lucifer's head as he studied Luce's wings.
"Your wings always were breathtaking," he said. "But don't get used to them. Time's almost up, and then...
He was watching her face for fear or agitation. She knew how he worked, where he drew his energy and power from. His grainy muscles flexed, and Luce watched the light of her falling body flicker, agitated but immobile, defenseless in his arms. It was like witnessing a loved one in grave danger, but Luce would not reveal that it bothered her.
"I am not afraid of you."
His grunt was a cloud of mucus and smoke.
"You will be, as you have been before, as you really are now. Fear is the only way to greet the devil."
The swelling stopped. His eyes cooled back to their startling ice blue. His muscles relaxed into the sleek figure that had once made him the most gorgeous among heaven's host. There was a shimmer to his pale skin that Luce hadn't remembered until now. He was more beautiful, even, than Daniel. Luce let herself remember. She had loved him. He had been her first true love. She had given him her whole heart. And Lucifer had loved her, too. When his gaze fell on her, the entire history of their relationship played across his handsome face. The fire of their early romance, his desperate yearning to possess her, the anguish of love he'd said had inspired his rebellion against the throne. Her mind knew it was Great Deceiver's first great lie, but her heart felt something different, in part because she knew Lucifer had come to believe his lie. It had a secret, spreading power, like a flood nobody saw. She couldn't help it. She softened. Lucifer's eyes bore the same tenderness that Daniel's did when he looked at her. She felt her eyes begin to return this tenderness to Lucifer. He still loved her, and every moment that he didn't have her hurt him deeply. That was why he'd spent the past 9 days with a shadow of her soul, why he'd sought to reset the entire universe to have her back.
"Oh, Lucifer," she said, "I'm sorry."
"You see," he laughed, "you are afraid of me. You're afraid of what I make you feel. You don't want to remember."
"No, it's not..."
From a hidden sheath behind his back, Lucifer produced a long, silver starshot. He rolled it between his fingers, humming a tune Luce recognized. She shivered. It was the hymn he'd written, pairing the two of them together. "Lucinda, his evening light." She watched the starshot gleam.
"What are you doing?"
"You loved me. You were mine. Those of us who understand eternity know what true love means. Love never dies. That's why I know that when we hit the ground, when everything starts over, you will make the right choice. You will choose me instead of him, and we will rule together. We will be together.
He looked up at her.
Or else.
Then Lucifer came at her with the star shot. Yes, Luce shouted. I loved you once. He froze, the dull, deadly weapon poised above her breast, her earlier soul dangling from the crook of his arm.
But it was longer ago than you recall, she said. You appreciate eternity, but you don't appreciate how, in a moment, eternity can change. I did not love you when we fell.
Lies!
He lowered the starshot closer.
You've loved me more recently than you think. Even just last week, in your announcers, thinking you loved another, we were wonderful together. Remember nesting in the passion fruit tree in Tahiti? We had earlier moments, too. I expect you've been remembering those.
He stepped away from her, studied her reaction.
I taught you everything you think you know about love. We were supposed to rule together. You promised to follow me. You deceived me.
His eyes pleaded with her, conflagrations of pain and rage.
Imagine how lonely it was, in a hell of my own making, stranded at the altar, the greatest fool of all time, enduring 7,000 years of agony.
Stop, she whispered. You have to stop loving me, because I stopped loving you.
Because of Daniel Grigori, who isn't a tenth of the angel I am, even at my worst? It's ridiculous. You know that I've always been more radiant, more talented. You were there when I invented love. I made it out of nothing, out of mere adoration.
Lucifer frowned as he said the word, as if it made him nauseated.
And you don't even know the half. Without you, I went on to invent evil, the other end of the spectrum, the necessary balance. I inspired Dante, Milton. You should see the underworld. I took the throne's ideas and improved them. You can do whatever you want. You've missed out on everything.
I missed nothing.
Oh, darling.
He reached for her, his soft hand caressing her cheek.
Surely you can't believe that. I could give you the greatest kingdom never known. We work hard, then we party. Even the throne offered you the benefits of eternal peace. And what have you chosen? Daniel, what has that haircut ever done?
Luce brushed his hand away. He's captured my heart. He loves me for who I am, not what I can bring to him. He smirked.
You always were a sucker for acknowledgement. Baby, that's your Achilles heel.
She glanced at the glowing, still souls around them, millions of them, stretching thousands of miles into the distance, accidental eavesdroppers on the truth about the universe's first romantic love.
I thought that what I felt for you was right, Luce said. I loved you until it hurt me, until our love was consumed by your pride and rage. The thing you called love made me disappear. So I had to stop loving you.
She paused.
Our adoration never diminished the throne, but your love diminished me. I never meant to hurt you. I only meant to stop you from hurting me.
Then stop hurting me, he pleaded,
stretching out arms that Luce remembered encircling her, feeling like home.
You can learn to love me again. It is the only way to stop my pain. Choose me now, again, for always.
No, she said. It's really over, Lucifer.
She motioned toward the other angels falling around them.
It was over before any of this even happened. I never promised to rule with you outside of heaven. You projected that dream onto me, like I was another one of your blank slates.
You will accomplish nothing by dropping this Lucinda to Earth. She will not return your love.
She might.
He gazed down at the angel in his arms. He tried to kiss her, but the light surrounding Lucinda's falling self blocked his lips from touching her skin. I am sorry for the pain I caused you, Lou said. I was young. I got swept up. I played with fire. I shouldn't have. Please, Lucifer, let us go.
Oh.
He nuzzled his face into the body in his arms.
I ache.
You will ache less if you accept that what we shared is in the past. Things are not the way they were. If you love me, you must find it in your soul to let me go on as I must.
Lucifer took a long look at Luce. His expression darkened, then turned quizzical, as if he was considering an idea. He looked away for a moment, blinked, and when he looked at Luce again, she thought he could see her as she truly was, the angel who'd become a girl, who'd lived through millennia, who'd grown more and more certain of her destiny, who'd found her way back to becoming an angel once again.
You deserve more, Lucifer whispered.
More than Daniel? Luce shook her head. I don't want anything more than him.
I mean, you deserve more than all this suffering. I'm not blind to what you've been through. I've been watching.
At times, your pain has caused me a kind of joy. I mean, you know me.
Lucifer smiled sadly.
But even my brand of joy is always edged with guilt. If I could do away with guilt, you'd really see something big.
Free me from my suffering. Stop the fall, Lucifer. It is within your power.
He staggered toward her, his eyes filled with tears. The devil shook his head.
Tell me how a guy with a decent job loses a... Enough!
The voice brought everything to a halt. The rotation of the sun, the inner consciousness of 318 million angels, even the velocity of the plummeting fall itself, simply stopped. It was the voice that had created the universe, layered and rich, as if millions of versions of it spoke in unison.
Enough!
The throne's command ripped through Luce. It consumed her. Light flooded her vision, obscuring Lucifer, her falling self, the whole world with brightness. Her soul buzzed with unspeakable electricity as a weight fell from her, zipped into the distance. The fall. It was gone. Luce had been thrust out of it with a single word and a jolt that made her feel inside out. She was moving across a great void toward an unknown destination, faster than the speed of light multiplied by the speed of sound. She was moving at Godspeed. 19. Lucinda's Price. Nothing but white. Luce sensed she and Lucifer had returned to Troy, but she couldn't be sure. The world was too bright, ivory on fire. It blazed in total silence. At first, the light was everything. It was white-hot, blinding. Then, slowly, it began to fade. The scene before Luce sharpened. The lessening light allowed the field, the slender cypress trees, the goats grazing on blonde straw, the angels around her to come into focus. This light's brilliance seemed to have a texture, like feathers brushing her skin. Its power made her humble and afraid. It faded further, seemed to shrink, condensing as it drew in on itself. Everything dimmed, lost its color as the light pulled away. It gathered into a brilliant sphere, a tiny glowing orb, brightest at its core, hovering 10 feet from the ground. It pulsed and flickered as its rays took shape. They stretched, glittering like pulled sugar, into a head, a torso, legs, arms, hands, a nose, a mouth, until the light became a person, a woman,
the throne in human form. Long before, Luce had been a favorite of the throne. She knew that now, knew it in a fabric of her soul. Yet Luce had never really known the throne at all. No being was capable of that kind of knowledge. It was the way of things, the nature of divinity. To describe her was to reduce her. So here, now, even though she looked very much like a queen in a flowing white robe, the throne was still the throne, which meant that she was everything. Luce couldn't stop staring. She was staggeringly beautiful, her hair spun silver and gold. Her eyes, blue like a crystal ocean, exuded the power to see everything, everywhere. As the throne gazed across the Trojan plains, Luce thought she recognized a flash of her own face in God's expression, determined, the way Luce Price's jaw clenched when she'd made up her mind. She'd seen it in her reflection 1,000 times before. And when God's face shifted to take in the audience before her, her expression changed into something else. It looked like Daniel's devotion. It captured that particular light in his eyes. Now, in the slack, open way she held her hands, Luce recognized her mother's selflessness. And now she saw the proud smile that belonged only to Penn. Except Luce saw now that it didn't belong to Penn. Every fleeting trace of life found its origin in the Force standing before Luce. She could see how the whole world, mortals and angels alike, had been created in the throne's mercurial image. An ivory chair appeared at one edge of the plain. The chair was made of an otherworldly substance Luce knew she had seen before. The same material as in the silver staff with the curled spiral tip that the throne held in her left hand. When the throne took her seat, Annabelle, Arian, and Francesca rushed to come before her, falling on their knees in adoration. The throne's smile shone down on them, casting rainbows of light on their wings. The angels hummed together in harmonious delight. Arian raised her glowing face, beating her wings to rise to address the throne. Her voice burst out in glorious song.
"Gabby's gone!"
"Yes," the throne hummed back. Of course, the throne already knew this. It was a ritual of commiseration, rather than a sharing of information. Luce remembered that this was the purpose for which the throne had created speech and song. It was meant to be another way of feeling, another wing to brush up against your friends. Then Arian's and Annabelle's feet skimmed the ground, and they fluttered up above the throne. They hovered there, facing Luce and the rest of their friends, gazing adoringly at their creator. Their formation looked strange, somehow incomplete, until Luce realized something. The leches. Arian and Annabelle were taking their old places as archangels. In Heaven's Meadow, the rippled silver ledges had once formed an arch over the head of the throne. They were back where they belonged, Arian just to the right of the throne's shoulders, and Annabelle only inches off the ground near the throne's right hand. Bright gaps shone in the space around the throne. Luce remembered which ledge Cam used to fly to, which was Roland's, and which one belonged to Daniel. She caught flashes of Molly's place before the throne, and Stephen's, too, though they were not archangels but angels who adored happily from the meadow. At last, she saw Lucifer's and her places, their matching silver ledges on the throne's left side. Her wings tingled. It was all so clear. The other fallen angels, Roland, Cam, Stephen, Daniel, and Lucifer, did not step forward to adore the throne. Luce felt torn. Adoring the throne came naturally. It was what Lucinda was made for. But somehow, she couldn't move. The throne looked neither disappointed nor surprised.
"Where is the fall, Lucifer?"
The voice made Luce want to fall on her knees and pray.
"Only God can tell," Lucifer growled. "It doesn't matter.
Perhaps I didn't want it after all.
The throne twirled her silver staff in her hands, worrying a muddy recess into the soil where its end met the earth. A vine of silver-white lilies sprang up, lashing in a spiral around the staff. The throne didn't seem to notice. She fixed her blue eyes on Lucifer until his blue eyes twitched up to lock with hers.
"I believe the first two statements," the throne said. "And soon you will be convinced of the last. My indulgence has very famous limits."
Lucifer started to speak, but the throne's gaze passed from him, and he kicked the earth in frustration. It opened up beneath him, lava bubbling and cooling on the ground, a personal volcano. With the slightest gesture of her hand, the throne brought them back to attention.
"We must deal with the curse of Lucinda and Daniel," she said.
Luce swallowed hard, feeling terror edge along her stomach. But the throne's phosphorescent eyes were kind when she tucked a silver-gold strand of hair behind her ear, leaned back in her throne, and surveyed the gathering before her.
"As you know, the time has come for me to again ask these two a question."
Everyone quieted, even the wind.
"Lucinda, we'll begin with you."
Luce nodded. The calmness of her wings juxtaposed her pounding heart. It was a strangely mortal sensation, reminding her of being called before the principal at school. She approached the throne, head bowed.
"You have paid your debt of suffering over these past 6-odd millennia."
"It wasn't only suffering," Lou said. "There were difficult times, but..." She looked around her at the friends she'd made, at Daniel, even at Lucifer. "There was a lot of beauty, too." The throne gave Luce a curious smile.
"You have also met the conditions of discovering your nature without help, of being true to yourself. Would you say that you have come to know your soul?"
"Yes," Luce said. "Deeply."
"You are now more fully Lucinda than you have ever been. Any decision you make bears not just the knowledge you bring to it as an angel, but also the weight of 7,000 years of life lessons in every state of human being."
"I am humbled by my responsibility," she said, using words that didn't sound anything like Luce Price, but she realized sounded everything like Lucinda, her true soul.
"You may have heard it said that in this lifetime, your soul is up for grabs."
"Yes, I've heard that."
"And you may have heard something about a balance between the angels of heaven and the forces of Lucifer."
Luce nodded slowly.
"And so the question falls to you once more. Will it be heaven or will it be hell? You have learned your lessons and are now 400 lives the wiser. So we ask you again, where do you wish to spend eternity? If it is to be heaven, allow me to say that we will welcome you home and see that the transition is made easy."
God cast her eyes on Lucifer, but Luce didn't follow suit.
"If hell is your choice, I hazard to guess that Lucifer will accept you."
Lucifer did not respond. Luce heard heavy shuffling behind her. She swiveled around to see the backs of his wings twisted into a knot. It had not been easy inside the fall to tell Lucifer she did not love him, would not choose him. It felt impossible to say the same thing to the throne. Luce stood before the power that created her and had never felt more like a child.
"Lucinda!"
The throne's stare bore down on her.
"It falls to you to tip the scale."
The conversation she'd had with Arian in the Vegas IHOP came back to her again. In the end, it was going to come down to one powerful angel choosing a side. When that happened, the scale would finally tip.
"It falls to me?"
The throne nodded, as if Luce should have known this all along.
The last time you refused to choose.
No, that isn't true, Luce said. I chose love. Just now you asked whether I knew my soul, and I do. I must stay true to who I am and place love highest of all.
Daniel reached for her hand.
We chose love then, and we will make the same choice today.
And if you curse us for it now, Lou said, the outcome will be the same. We found each other over and over for 7,000 years. You are all witnesses. We will do it again.
Lucifer, the throne asked, what do you say to this?
He looked at Luce with blazing eyes, his pain obvious to everyone there.
I say we will all regret this moment forever. It is a wrong choice and a selfish one. There is always some regret when we accept that love has moved away from us.
The even voice came from the throne.
But I will take your response as a small display of mercy and acquiescence, which offers the universe some hope. Lucinda and Daniel have made their choice clear, and I hold us both to our vows made at the roll call. Their love is out of our hands. So be it, but it will come at a price.
She shifted her gaze back to Luce and Daniel.
Are you prepared to pay the ultimate sacrifice for your love?
Daniel shook his head.
If I have Lucinda, and Lucinda has me, there is no such thing as sacrifice.
Lucifer cackled, soaring off his feet and hovering in the air above Luce and Daniel.
So we could rob everything from you, your wings, your strength, your immortality, and still you'd choose your love.
From the corner of her eye, Luce caught a glimpse of Arion. Her wings were folded behind her. Her hands were stuffed inside the pockets of her overalls. She nodded smugly, lips pursed in satisfaction, as if to say,
Hell yeah, they would.
Yes, Luce and Daniel spoke as one.
Fine, the throne responded. But understand, there is a price. You may have each other, but you may have nothing else. If you choose love once and for all, you must give up your angelic natures. You will be born again, made anew, as mortals.
Mortals? Daniel, her angel, reborn as a mortal? All these nights she'd lain wondering what would become of her and Daniel's love at the end of these 9 days. Now, the throne's decision reminded her of Bill's suggestion that Luce kill her reincarnating soul in Egypt. Even then, she'd considered living out her mortal life and leaving Daniel to his own. There would be no more pain from another lost love. She'd almost been able to do it. What had stopped her was a thought of losing Daniel. But this time, she could have him, really have him, for a long time. Everything would be different. He would be at her side.
If you accept,
the throne's voice rose above Lucifer's raspy chortle.
You won't remember what you once were, and I cannot guarantee that you will meet during your lifetime on Earth. You will live, and you will die, just as any other mortal in creation. The powers of heaven that have always drawn you to each other will pull away. No angel will cross your path.
She gave a warning look to the angels, Luce and Daniel's friends.
No friendly hand will appear in darkest night to guide you. You will be truly on your own.
A soft sound escaped Daniel's lips. She turned to him and took his hand. So they would be mortals, wandering the earth in search of their other half, just like everyone else. It sounded like a beautiful proposition. From just behind them, Cam said,
Mortality is the most romantic story ever told. Just one chance to do everything you should. Then, magically, you move on.
But Daniel looked crestfallen.
What is it? Luce whispered. You don't want to?
You only just got back your wings.
Which is exactly why I know I can be happy without them. As long as I have you.
You were the one who'd really be giving them up. Are you sure it's what you want?
Daniel lowered his face to hers, his lips close, soft.
Always.
Tears welled in Luce's eyes as Daniel turned back to face the throne.
We accept.
Around them, the glow of wings grew very bright until the whole field hummed with light. And Luce felt the other angels, their dear and precious friends, move from wild anticipation into shock.
Very well, the throne almost whispered, her expression inscrutable.
Wait, Luce shouted.
There was one more thing.
We accept on one condition.
Daniel stirred beside her, watching Luce from the corner of his eye, but he didn't interrupt.
What is your condition? The throne boomed,
resoundingly unaccustomed to negotiation.
Take the outcasts back into the fold of heaven, she said, before her confidence failed. They have proven themselves worthy. If there was room enough to take me back into your meadow, there is room enough for the outcasts.
The throne looked at the outcasts, who were silent and glowing dimly.
This is unorthodox, but at its core, a selfless request. You shall have it.
Slowly, she extended one of her arms.
Outcasts, step forward if you would enter heaven once again.
The four outcasts strode to stand before the throne, with more purpose than Luce had ever before seen them possess. Then, with a single nod, the throne restored their wings. They lengthened, thickened. Their tattered brown color drained to become a brilliant white. And then the outcast smiled. Luce had never seen one smile before, and they were beautiful. At the end of their metamorphoses, the outcast's eyes bulged as her irises bloomed back into sight. They could see again. Even Lucifer looked impressed. He muttered,
Only Lucinda could pull that off.
It is a miracle.
Oleana hugged her wings around her body to admire them.
That's her job, Luce said.
The outcasts returned to their old positions of adoration around the throne.
Yes.
The throne closed her eyes to accept their adoration.
I believe that's better, after all.
Finally, the throne raised her staff in the air and pointed it at Luce and Daniel.
It is time to say goodbye.
Already?
Luce didn't mean to let the word slip.
Make your farewells.
The former outcast swept Luce with gratitude and hugs, binding her and Daniel in their arms. When they pulled away, Francesca and Stephen stood before them, arms linked, gorgeous, beaming.
We always knew you could do it,
Stephen winked at Luce.
Didn't we, Francesca?
Francesca nodded.
I was hard on you, but you proved yourself to be one of the most impressive souls I have ever had the pleasure of instructing.
You are an enigma, Luce. Keep it up.
Stephen shook Daniel's hand, and Francesca kissed their cheeks before they backed away.
Thank you, Luce said. Take care of each other, and take care of Shelby and Miles, too.
Then angels were all around them, the old crew who'd formed at Sword and Cross, and hundreds of other places before that. Arian, Roland, Cam, and Annabelle. They'd saved Luce more times than she could ever say.
This is hard.
Luce folded herself into Roland's arms.
Oh, come on. You already saved the world.
He laughed.
Now go save your relationship.
Don't listen to Dr. Phil, Arian squealed. Don't ever leave us.
She was trying to laugh, but it wasn't working. Rebellious tears streamed down her face. She didn't wipe them away. She just held on tight to Annabelle's hand.
Okay, fine. Go.
We'll be thinking of you, Annabelle said. Always.
I'll be thinking of you, too.
Luce had to believe it was true. Otherwise, if she was really going to forget all this, she couldn't bear to leave them. But the angels smiled sadly, knowing she had to forget them. That left Cam, who who was standing close to Daniel, their arms clapped around each other's shoulders.
You pulled it off, brother. Course I did.
Daniel played at being haughty, but it came off as love.